dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are big in my house, so see dinosaurs. Dinosaurs. What does the Bible say about dinosaurs? The topic of dinosaurs in the Bible is part of a larger ongoing debate within the Christian community over the age of the earth. The proper interpretation of Genesis and how to interpret the physical evidence we find all around us. Those are like my three favorite questions. It's like, let me tell you. those who believe in an older age from the earth tend to agree that the Bible does not mention dinosaurs because, according to the old earth paradigm, what is that? Is that you?
Yeah, it was.
I was like, what? Dinosaurs died out millions of years before the first man ever walked on earth. So the men who wrote the Bible could not have seen living creatures. There is so much to unpack out of that one. Ooh, dinosaurs are in the Bible, people. All right,
Yes.
here we go. Those who believe in a younger age earth, or. All right, let me start that over. I don't read as fluently as you do, apparently. Those who believe in a younger age for the earth tend to agree that the Bible does mention dinosaurs, though it never actually uses the word dinosaur because it wasn't. No one came up with the word dinosaur until like the late 1800s, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you 100%.
Instead, it uses the Hebrew word. I'm gonna totally butcher this. Tanning, TANNIYN, which also translates a few different ways in our English Bibles. Sometimes it's sea monster, sometimes it's serpent. It's most commonly translated dragon in the King James Version. The tanning appears to have been some sort of giant reptile. Oh, I wonder what that could be. See, this is why I'm not allowed to preach, probably. Like riddled with sarcasm.
Right.
Might be kind of fun. These creatures are mentioned nearly 30 times in the Old Testament. Psalm 74:13, Isaiah 27:1, Jeremiah 51:34, and were found both on land and in the water. Another Hebrew word, pretty sure that's pronounced Leviathan, or close
Yes.
to that. Transliterated Leviathan is used six times in scripture, Job 41:1, Psalms 104:26, and refers to some type of large, fierce sea creature. The description of Leviathan, Job 41, gives the impression of a strong, yet graceful, unstoppable creature, which weapons are unveiling. Pardon me. Nothing on earth is its equal. Can you imagine seeing one of those?
Oh my goodness. Nah.
You're like, let's go catch that rascal.
Yeah.
Can we set a trap for it? Job 41:33. Another giant creature in the Bible describes that Job was familiar with is the behemoth, said to be a prime example of God's handiwork. That'd be another fun one to catch.
Oh, yeah.
Job 40. The behemoth is a huge plant-eating animal that dwells by the water. That sounds like, I don't know, Brontosaurus? Brontosaurus?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Big critters. Its bones are like tubes of bronze, and its limbs are like rods of iron. Job 40:18. Its tail is likened to a cedar tree. Job 40:17. Some have tried to identify the behemoth as an elephant or hippopotamus. Come on, people.
Wait, seriously?
I'll just point out that elephants and hippopotamuses have very thin tails. Nothing comparable to a cedar tree. Dinosaurs like, oh, a Brachiosaurus, oh, an Apatosaurus, a Saltosaurus. That sounds like a Saltosaurus.
Right?
What if you got beat up by one of those things? Like, would it be an Assaultosaurus? Did you get assaulted by an Assaultosaurus?
Sounds like there's a dad joke in there someplace.
Yeah. Where's the Pepperosaurus?
Yeah, right. Or the Thesaurus.
Pepper spray work on Assaultosaurus? All right, just stop. Read. On the other hand, had huge tails that could easily be compared to a cedar tree. Nearly every ancient civilization has left some sort of art depicting giant reptilian creatures. Have you seen, like, the pottery? So, like, there's this biblical page. It's like this Bible Facebook page for, like, all creation, if you will. Anyways, there's like they found some pottery. I want to say in like South America or something. And it depicts guys. It might even be China, wherever. They're like riding dinosaurs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember. I remember seeing something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, you can't tell me like I don't know. You tame a horse. Why can't you tame a dinosaur?
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about this before. You know that. The, you know, all the different evidences that you find and see on online and stuff like that, and you know you can argue the validity of all of that stuff all you want, but it's just some of that stuff is it can't be like. In and of itself, it defeats the argument because, like, I think you talked about the footprints.
Yeah,
the dinosaur footprint and then a human footprint inside of it.
They're everywhere.
Right, and you know, by science's you know method of dating stuff, it all dates the same. You know, and so either. You have a younger Earth than what you thought, and dinosaurs coexisted with humans, or you just found evidence of a human being on the planet billions of years ago or millions of years ago. You know what I mean? Like, and so
yeah.
Either way, their argument is falling apart.
Well, totally. Take the flood, for instance. Like, that happened like that. Like, all those layers. That didn't happen over not like within minutes of each other. That's why you still have dinosaurs. Yes. Like, you know, they dig up dinosaurs. Sometimes they're like, they actually still have. You think of bananas, but we already know bananas. But like, they'll have flesh, or you know, they'll still have like extractable DNA if you want, or partial, or you know, Jurassic Park kind of stuff. But it's real. It's legit. It's like so. Yeah. The Earth is not that old. It's not. You know? Coal and oil can be happen really fast. You know? So, I'm just reading down here a little. I totally forgot about this guy. I was just kind of while we're talking, I was just kind of eyeballing this next paragraph. Oh, yeah. Here it talks about Roman mosaics, Mayan pottery, and Babylonian city walls testified to man's transcultural, geologically unbound of these creatures. So they're on, you know. And then I was referring to Marco Polo. Remember Marco Polo from school?
Yeah.
He, like, hoofed it from Europe to China and back on the, was it the Silk Road?
The Silk Road, yeah.
Yeah, I was paying attention to school once in a while. Oh, he literally wrote, and I quote, at the forepart near the head, they had two short legs, each with three claws, as well as eyes larger than a loaf, very glaring. The jaws are wide enough to swallow a man. The teeth are large and sharp, and their whole appearance is formidable, that neither man nor any other kind of animal can approach without terror. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, dinosaurs and people coexisted. They had to. I'm not going to continue reading this because it's just like, although there's not much left anyways, but it's just, it amazes me, and it almost makes me laugh. Like, the powers that be, quote unquote, I use my hands now because people
can see me. Yeah.
If they put in, it would take them less effort to credit God and Jesus and accept all these facts. They put more effort into trying to discredit all this stuff than it would to actually just accept what's going on, of what happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man, 100%.
It's like, why? You know, and then they're like, well, we all know why, because Satan wants to misconstrue everything. Well, the earth is a million, billion, trillion years old, and blah, blah, blah. And dinosaurs were this, and there's all these different layers of crustaceans, and Jurassic period. And oh, man, I was like, yeah, all right, so there's 15 minutes. That was probably 20 minutes. That's 5 minutes. just stacked up, man. Like that.
Yeah.
Just Jesus is real. Jesus is real.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Oh, speaking of the flood, did you see that? I haven't had a chance to research this yet, so I don't know if there's the validity of this at all, but they said that they're at the top of Mount Everest, there's what's it called? There's this particular type of slate, particular type of rock that only forms at the bottom of a sea.
Okay. I thought it was like limestone.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. It's just a particular type of rock that only forms at the bottom of an ocean or bottom of a sea.
Oh, yeah. And, I saw that. So that just goes to prove that, like, the flood was legit.
Right, and that it was global, it wasn't local.
Oh, yeah, it's totally global.
Yeah.
There's so much evidence out there to prove that it was global.
Mm-hmm.
Not local. Yeah, it's wild. And, like, I watched the show about, I actually fell asleep to it, but I think it was like the Genesis. I'll have to ask my wife. Found it on YouTube, watched it on the TV. Like the Genesis. I don't know if it was a Genesis movie per se, but it was like it talked about the flood, the ice age, and all that jazz. So like, and they're claiming the Earth is warming up. So yeah. So like. I wish I'm probably gonna butcher the explanation, but here we go. So there was a flood that happened. So I think like the gist of it, I'm using my hands, are like you got your poles, like they have ice on them. They had way more ice back then. So like you got your ice age right there, okay? Just and as the waters, so what they're claiming, which kind of makes sense, just hear me out. So the ice is melting, the waters receded. So they're receded to like to what we have now, let's just say that. Okay. Might have been a little higher back when Noah was around. Anyways, they receded, and so you got the dry land, you got your dry land back, but you still got like this ice. And said something about like that much water or something happens, like so everything's, the earth is like kind of, if you will quote me on this, I'm just totally paraphrasing, like warming back up to like what it's supposed to be or whatever. So like yeah, things are melting and it's gonna get, because I, humor me, I believe like there was water, but like as much water as there is now on the surface of the earth was like under the earth, because you know the springs of the deep, like
Oh yeah, for sure.
if you see a globe, like I used to have a globe when I was a kid, and it like had all the land masses on it, and it had like all the undersea land features on it. And that globe, I'll never forget, like had a seam around it, like a baseball, like geographically, like it was like poof, like the earth went poof, you know, and all the water came up, if you will. That's my scientific explanation right there. So, oh, poof, that's a scientific term.
That's
Feel free
right.
to use that, kids. Oh, yeah, you got all the water comes up, covers everything, freezes on top, obviously. You get your different points when you're that far from the sun. So, anyways, the water recedes. Now it's starting to warm back up. That makes sense, kind of.
Yeah, 100%.
Anybody? Yeah.
Yep.
So,
That makes total
you got
sense. That,
land in Florida, if you want to sell it. Yeah.
And it's one of those things that, you can't prove one way or the other for something like that, but it's plausible. It's not, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it was way
It's
more. Yeah. It spoke way more intelligently than I just tried to explain it. So, but it made sense if you heard like it, the whole scientific thing. I was like, oh, that totally makes sense. I get that. So. It's just fun to see God's handiwork. Like they put so much effort into like trying to squash it and disprove it and all this other jazz. When the truth of what God's done is like so much more interesting and mind-blowing and just like the coolest thing ever, in my, like, yeah. So, because I mean, you're finding seashells at the top of Mount Everest, I'm sure, you know.
Right.
I've been on top of plenty of mountains that have, like, you know, the ripple rocks.
Oh yeah.
That's ocean floor. Yeah. Remember on the top of Mount Rearguard when we were up there? I felt like we were in like a drained out aquarium with like all those rocks that were up there, and they were just these giant. People, if you've never been up there, it's amazing. It's probably the coolest mountaintop I've ever been on. It's like you get up there, watch out for the wolverine on the, yeah, he's up there. You'll smell him.
Yeah, you'll smell them before you see them, that's for sure.
Yeah, watch out for that. Anyway, once you get past him and get around to like where it flattens out, that There's these huge boulders. They're everywhere, but they're just flat. And then there's like these two huge columns that go up and go across. And I can't even imagine how that got built, how that got put there. I have,
Yeah.
if you want to believe in God, go to Top Mountain in the garden, because I'm like, there's nobody on earth to put that there.
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. I've never seen anything like it. I probably never will see anything like it ever again. So, yeah. That was super cool. Yeah, it was like nothing you'll ever see. Can
Yeah, that was
you believe we had some
definitely.
more flash there too? That was super cool. That was like the second coolest part.
Yeah.
Calling our wives. It was like, I felt like we were calling from the moon.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't even remember what possessed us to look and see if we had service up there. Like,
Don't know. I just like looked over and I'm like, he could, if you don't know, but people, Phil's on his phone. And I was like, I looked over and I'm like, he's on his phone. What? I'm like, you got service? Like, yeah, talking to my wife. I was like, I call my wife. But yeah, just God's handiwork. It's unbelievable. Dinosaurs and people existed. There's proof. It's everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. So there it is. You want to do another one?
Yeah, let's do one more. Let's see.
I read number seven while I was waiting for you tonight. That was super interesting.
The what now?
Number seven.
Yeah, I was looking at that one too. All right. Well, I think number 10 might be a good one to end on.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
What happens after death? All right. So I'm looking up here because that's where my screen is now because my phone decided to die. Within the Christian faith, there is a significant amount of confusion regarding what happens after death. Some hold that after death, everyone sleeps until the final judgment, after which everyone will be sent to heaven or hell. Others believe that at the moment of death, people are instantly judged and sent to their eternal destinations. Still others claim that when people die, their souls or spirits are sent to a temporary heaven or hell to await the final resurrection, the final judgment, and the finality of their eternal destination. So what exactly, excuse me, does the Bible say happens after death? First, for the believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that after death, believers' souls or spirits are taken to heaven because their sins were forgiven when they received Christ as Savior. John 3:16, 18, and 36. For believers, death means being away from the body and at home with the Lord. However, passages such as 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17 describe believers being resurrected and given glorified bodies. If believers go to be with Christ immediately after death, what is the purpose of this resurrection? It seems that while the souls or spirits of believers go to be with Christ immediately at death, the physical body remains in the grave, sleeping. At the resurrection of believers, the physical body is resurrected, glorified, and reunited with the soul or spirit This reunited and glorified body, soul, spirit will be the state of existence for believers for eternity in the new heavens and new earth. That is Revelation 21 and 22. Secondly, for those who do not receive Christ, Jesus Christ as Savior, death means everlasting punishment. However, similar to the destiny of believers, it seems that unbelievers also go to a temporary holding place to await their final resurrection, judgment, and eternal destiny. Luke 16, 22 and 23 describes a rich man being tormented immediately after death. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 describes all the unbelieving dead being resurrected, judged at the great white throne, and cast into the lake of fire. Unbelievers, then, are not sent to hell, the lake of fire, immediately after death, but they are rather sent to a temporary realm of judgment and anguish. The rich man cried out, "I'm in agony in this fire." Luke 16:24. After death, a person resides in either place, in either a place of comfort or in a place of torment. These realms act as a temporary heaven and a temporary hell until the resurrection. At that point, the souls are reunited with the body, but no one's eternal destiny will change. The first resurrection is for the blessed and holy. Revelation 20, verse 6. Everyone who is in Christ and those who are part of the first resurrection will enter the millennial kingdom and ultimately the new heavens and new earth. Revelation 21, 1. The other resurrection happens after Christ's millennial kingdom, and it involves a judgment on the wicked and unbelieving according to what they had done. Revelation 20, 13. These whose names are not in the book of life will be sent to the lake of fire to experience the second death. Revelation 20, 14 to 15. The new earth and the lake of fire, these two destinations are final and eternal. People who go to one or the other based entirely on whether... Okay, this is the key, and this is why I chose this one to end on. People who go to one or the other based entirely on whether they have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. Matthew 25, 46 and John 3, 36. And that is the answer. That is their answer. So, like we said before, you have two options. You have option A or option B. There's no middle ground. There's no nothing. That's it. And so, I find part of this that I find really interesting, that is part that people like to argue about, that Christians like to argue about. Is where, let's see, where's it at? What he's talking about. And, where it talks about the second death. I'm not finding it now. There it is. These whose names are not in the book of life will be sent to the lake of fire to experience the second death. That is, some Christians believe they're called annihilationists. And they think that when it talks about a second death, that you literally get annihilated, like you cease to exist. I do not believe that, but that's where that comes from for anybody that has heard that. That term, because you know, we're Bottom line is really this: everybody, and I mean everybody, is going to have eternal life. It's just
Oh, sure.
where you spend that eternity. Yeah, right? Yeah. Like that's because you whenever you hear somebody say that you have having eternal life, everybody automatically thinks of the good side. Like they think God, going to heaven and living for eternity with God and all that kind of stuff. But it's not very often that you hear, like from the pulpit even, that you're gonna live for all of eternity in hell too.
Oh, sure.
And just like that last sentence, based entirely on whether or not they have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation.
And if you don't have that salvation, you never had Jesus, so you're gonna go. Yeah, you're not going to have.
Right. And that's not to say that, yeah, this is the other part of this that I think gets people hung up, or that causes this to become a bigger thing than what it needs to be. Like if you were to stand on a street corner and ask somebody, "Do you know Jesus?" and they say no, and you were to tell them well, then you're gonna go to hell. They immediately take offense to that because they think in worldly mindsets, and telling somebody that they're gonna go to hell is basically telling them you're an evil person, you're like you. Hitler reincarnate, and
I feel like they just like, go ahead, sorry.
it's just that's not at all like that's not at all what is being said. I mean, it might be for certain people. Like if I say it, that's not at all what I mean. You know what I mean? It's like you could very well be the nicest person on the planet.
Oh, sure. What if you don't have Jesus?
Right. Yes. And being the nicest person on the planet, it doesn't mean a hill of beans if you do not know Jesus.
So if you said that to someone in the street corner, they probably like they would feel like instantly judged,
Oh yeah,
you know?
absolutely. It'd be oh.
They're like, you tell me I'm gonna go to hell. I'm like, I'm Stephen, and I'm just that's what the Bible says. So I'm like, I'm not condemning you,
Right,
but
yes.
you want some help, you know, I'll help you out. I'll point you in the
Yes.
direction.
No. Yeah. 'Cause and you're right, that's what they feel judged, like you are the one that's condemning them. They've already done that themselves.
I'm just telling you what it says.
Yep. Like
Oh,
I
so don't be
Right.
mean.
Because I have no control whatsoever of anybody's salvation. And nor can I know that. Like I can discern that, and I can make a really good educated guess as to where somebody's at as far as being saved or not being saved. But to know 100%, that's between that person and God.
That's great.
But that doesn't, I mean, that doesn't change the fact that you only have two options when you die, and
That's true. I think sometimes, oh, I think a lot of time maybe you get sugar-coated or
Oh,
not
yeah.
really. Or I guess this would just be like the definition of sugar-coated, like not really touched on or kind of brushed over.
Yes.
It's like people are like, well, Jesus is loving, and how could he do that? Blah blah blah. I'm like, well, he can't, because if one, that's what it says, and two, when he comes back, it's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows.
No. No.
Yeah, he did that once, and now we
Yeah.
have the Bible, and you
Yep.
it's your instruction manual for life.
Yeah,
If he hates that,
he this
you're
second
done.
time, coming back, he's gonna come back like the Jewish people thought he was coming the first time. He's coming as a conqueror. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, to tie this all together, like it says in the last sentence here and on the first one you picked, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have salvation. So I think you can lose your salvation. You never had it to begin with. And if you don't have it, Jesus shows up, you're done. You're out of chances. Party's over. You're gonna go to hell. And then, I don't know how to say that. There's no loving way to say that. You're just, that's it. It's
Right.
over.
Isn't it funny how that it definitely feels that way? Like there's no loving way to tell somebody you're gonna go to hell.
Yeah.
But
Just those, oh, those, just those words. Just like, you're
right.
gonna go to hell. It's like, say, go to hell. Go to hell. Those three words. Those are harsh.
Right.
I feel like that's worse than any cussing out or negative thing to say to somebody. Like, you're gonna go to hell.
Yeah.
Or if you told someone to go to hell in a
Yep.
very negative manner. Just like, that's, do you know what hell consists of? I
Right.
don't want to go there. I'd rather get cussed out. Just like, I
Right.
don't even want to think about that. Not
Right.
going there. I don't want it. It's like a horrible place.
Right. Which kind of actually makes it one of the most loving things that you can inform somebody of.
Oh, stop it. You just put that the double-sided coin. It's
Right? Yeah,
the most and loving thing you say at the same time.
Right.
Oh. I'm gonna think about this while I'm on my plane tonight. Maybe I should talk to the people on my plane. I probably get punched in the face. Like, this
You
guy is going
might want to wait until you're landed before you talk to him, but yeah.
it's gonna be tough. Anyways. Yeah, that just blew my mind. That's the most unloving and loving thing you can say to somebody at the same time.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things that I think our culture has created the unloving part of things.
Sure, yeah.
You know? But to
Well, the
tell.
unloving is to begin with,
Oh,
but I get to that.
yeah. And I mean, context is everything too. You know, if you're just talking to somebody, you go to hell. You know, that's a little bit different than, you know, if you don't have Jesus, you are going to hell. You know, it's a little bit different.
Sure.
And then not just leaving it at that, but actually, like you said, show them the way, like point them in the right direction. Say,
Because we can't actually save anybody, but you can.
right.
It's like trying to, like, it's like being a farmer. Like, you can, you plant the seeds and do everything you're supposed to do, but you literally can't make it grow.
Right.
It's
Yep.
up to God who controls the weather. So.
Yep, and it is exact. I love the gardening word picture because it's absolutely perfect because I can go put a seed in the ground and I can water that thing like crazy and I could pour all this time and energy and effort into it. I still can't make it come up. I can't make it sprout. I can't make it grow. I can't make it produce fruit.
Sometimes there's bad seed. It doesn't grow.
Yep, it's
You just spend all that time.
Yep.
But you got to try. Give it some water. Give it some sun. See what happens. But you can't just. Yeah, you can't spend your time on this much ground. You got a
Yeah,
whole field.
yes.
Let's go. Yeah, you imagine a farmer out there, he's just like, I gotta make this one little piece of corn grow, you know? He's out there with his machinery. He's got hundreds of thousands of dollars of machinery. You know, he's got his corn planter and his tractor. Only he knows how much that costs. But he's out there, he's like, I was trying to put that one kernel on the ground with his finger, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
Don't worry about that. Just keep going. It'll grow or not grow. Okay, there's only so much you can do.
Right.
It'll probably grow, maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. But yeah, I get it. Oh. Get Jesus. Get some salvation. It's way better than anything else you can get.
Yes,
And leave
especially
from
now.
there. Yeah, good night. Ooh, it's so rough out there.
Yeah. Yep, that's what it boils down to, and that's what we say that all the time. And I think pretty much every one of our episodes is boiled down to you need Jesus.
Get Jesus. I saw a guy take the shirt or at the race, he was wearing a shirt. He wasn't running. But it said got God. So like got milk.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. Get Jesus. Then you can go to heaven and ask him about dinosaurs. So there we got dinosaurs in there too. So
Yes, because we'll have to do something on like just specifically on heaven and the new heaven and the new earth and what that all
oh,
looks like, and because that's such an interesting and exciting proposition to think about all that stuff and knowing that. That you're gonna be there is makes it even more exciting to talk about, and it really gets you pumped to actually be there.
oh, sure.
And you want to bring all your friends, like
Yep, that's for sure. It's better than the alternative by far.
Oh, yeah.
But do it because you want to. Don't do it because you're trying to like, what do I want to say? Oh, I think my pastor always says like, to get out of hell free card. Like, don't do it for that, although that's
Right.
a perk. But following Jesus and having salvation and being forgiven.
Yeah.
All the things screwed up. That's a pretty
Yeah.
good feeling.
Yes. And along those same lines, I would say don't try to fake it. Because that only lasts so long before you can't fake it anymore. And if you do legitimately do it, it doesn't matter what the reason is. You know, if it's the fear of going to hell, whatever. I mean, that God's going to use that just like he's going to use the desire to go to heaven. You know, so it. To me, regardless of why you come, just come legitimately. And then everything just kind of falls into place. You know, if you come because you're afraid of going to hell, yeah, you'll deal with that, you know, at the beginning, the first little bit, but you know, God will work that out, and he'll take that fear and replace it with a different kind of fear, like a irreverent fear of the God, of God. If
Yeah.
that makes any sense, like,
Oh,
you know.
totally. You really took the words around my head. So.
So, yeah, just come, just show up, do it legitimately.
Show up. Do it now.
Yep. And Steven and I are always here to answer questions if any of y'all got questions, or you can always go to gotquestions.org.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you do that, like, always double check your answers with the Bible. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't take our word for it. It's right here because that's where we get our answers from. So
Yep.
you're free to always look it up.
100%.
So, well, I have nothing else to add except we love you.
God loves you.
Peace.
Peace out.